Z100 invite you to get active. Each week at this time, Z100 presents another way for you to get active in the community. Z100's Get Active features conversations with community leaders, directors of local charities and civic organizations, outlining what they're doing to make life in the tri-state area better. Z100 urges everyone to get involved in the community. So take a few minutes and check out this week's Get Active.
And welcome to another edition of Get Active here on Sunday morning. Heard every Sunday morning at this time here on Z100, encouraging volunteerism in the community. My name is Skiri Jones from Elvis Duran and the Z100 Morning Show. We like to have a lot of guests up here, a lot of people, a lot of organizations doing amazing things. And we've had so many over the years. And I can't help but bring back my friend Silas Kelly, who, oh my God, Silas, how many years we know each other?
We're going way back, my friend. Brooklyn College.
Back in the day,
we went to 96, 97.
That's right. And you were the public affairs director of our college radio station.
Absolutely. Yes, I was.
Those are some great years. And you did a show back then called Viewpoints.
Yes.
And you always were connected to some of the most important and real movers and shakers in the in charity.
Yes.
In volunteerism and in donating people's time. I mean, worthwhile causes.
Absolutely.
And I got to say that once again, you've brought me to some people that I think that we should meet today.
Absolutely.
So why don't we do that real quick?
Yes.
I want to say good morning to Marcel, Michael, and Anne-Marie from the Association for Mental Health and Wellness. How you guys doing? All right.
Good morning, Skiri.
All right. Where's our, you know what? It is morning. And I know we're waking up, but we want to feel the energy and the electricity through the radio. We want to make a difference for people today. We want to motivate everyone listening this morning. So first of all, if you want to follow along right off the bat, if you're near a computer or on your cell, go to MHAW.org, the Association for Mental Health and Wellness, correct?
That's it.
Because that's what these people are all about. You can take a look at, you know, what their mission statement is and all that. But first, I guess we want to just say hello to everybody and talk about their roles.
Yes. Again, thanks, Skiri, for having us. I am a recently newly appointed board member of the Association of Mental Health and Wellness.
You're also the social work media specialist.
Yes. And my job is to bring organizations such as ours to the attention of the listening public, so that they can know that there are resources and help whenever they need it for whatever issues they may come upon. And so the folks that are here with us in the studio today, they're going to be able to give a lot of information about what we do and how far our reach is, so that anybody that's listening knows that they can get the help that they need.
Absolutely. So why don't we meet them? We have, first of all, Michael Stoltz, the chief executive officer. Hi, how you doing today?
Good morning, Skiri.
All right, very nice. And now what tell us about what you do and the overview and your vision of the organization.
Well, the Association for Mental Health and Wellness, and the easy way to refer to it is just MHAW, is a merger of three organizations called Clubhouse of Suffolk, Suffolk County United Veterans, and the Mental Health Association in Suffolk. And altogether, the agencies have been around for 40 to 50 years. But like a lot of health entities and nonprofits nowadays, dealing with very tight budgets, the agencies came together and merged. So you're seeing a lot of that in the health and nonprofit sector.
Oh, well, I didn't know that. I didn't realize that.
Right. That's a whole nother topic, but let me get to a little bit about what we do. So we serve people who have had serious mental health issues and psychiatric disabilities through our rehabilitation and our support programs. We help provide care coordination to people who have chronic health conditions, substance use disorders, and mental health disorders. We help veterans. We operate a men's shelter for veterans and a range of housing and a range of self-help and peer support services to our veterans that Marcel will talk about. And more recently, because of understanding about mental health problems and substance abuse problems, we realized the earlier that we intervene with people, the better the course of recovery for people. So Anne-Marie is here to talk about some of our initiatives, trying to outreach and serve to children with health and mental health.
So if there's someone listening to the radio right now and they wanted to get some help in some way, is there a process? Do they have to fill out a form? Like, how does that work? Like, walk us through it. Is it relatively easy if you're in need? How does one become part of the organization or benefit from it?
Well, it's great that you asked that, because the purpose of this show partly was also to introduce Mental Health Awareness Week.
Right. We're going to get to that in a second, too.
This is a national recognition that there is a tremendous amount of misunderstanding and stigma associated with mental health conditions and mental illnesses and psychiatric disabilities. So our agency is one of 270 chapters of Mental Health America. And a mission, a unifying mission of all these organizations, is about information referral.
What are some of the common misconceptions and the realities?
So just to finish with your first question is...
Oh, wow. Because yes, I'm going fast.
You're
going
really buzzing here.
We only have 30 minutes. That's a lot of time, actually. I'm kidding.
The caffeine has been flowing this morning.
Yes, it has been. With me, it always is. So go for it.
So on our site or any mental health association around the country, you can call. You can get on our site 24/7. Get help directed to whatever services, treatment services, self-help services, just education to get help.
That's fantastic.
So go to your second question. Part of what mental health associations and our organization are like, and what this week is about, that having a mental health condition is not necessarily dangerous, doesn't pose risk to the public, and are eminently treatable, and people experience recovery from mental health conditions.
Right on.
That's the biggest message here.
Cool. And do you want to explain who else we have here? We have Marcel and we have Anne-Marie. Marcel, you're the program director. Marcel Lease. Did I get that right?
Yes, you did.
Nice. Oh. Welcome.
Oh, good morning. Well, I'll just share a little bit about the project that we run through the Association for Mental Health and Wellness and Suffolk County United Veterans. I'll preface it by saying I also served veterans through America. You know, we work together to help through transition and reintegration. So in order to be a peer in this program, and the program I'm speaking of is the Joseph Dwyer Veterans Peer Support Project. Let's just roll back for a second. That started in 2013. We came on board in Suffolk County out here on Long Island. We were one of the first four counties to have veteran peer support funding from the state. It's grown to 16 counties in New York State right now. We work together to work through veterans in transition and reintegration. So I came on board after retiring from the military for 24 years of service. And so the project was part of my transition and reintegration, coming back and becoming a civilian, a veteran, and working with others. So what our project does right now in Suffolk County is we establish peer groups throughout the different communities that need group activities and whatnot. And we also provide individual peer support with, one-on-ones for veterans that aren't interested in maybe going to a group at this point. So really it's just about having the conversation in the community, talking about the resources, working through shared experiences. You do not have to have had combat experience to come to one of our groups. They're free of charge. They're anonymous and confidential. So really the value in the peer support program is to have that opportunity to talk about things that you've shared through experiences coming out of the military service, looking for employment, housing, all types of different resources that are out there in the community. And we do a lot of partnering with other service agencies to bring those resources to the vets that are in need.
That's great.
And just real quick, just to add to that, the service also works with the families of the veterans. And that's a big, big point, you know, that I think folks out there listening should know about, is that not only the veterans get help, but with our organization, if there's family members that are affected, then they also get the help that they need. So I just want to add that.
Yes, it's very important to recognize that when a service member goes and performs their duty, the family also serves. And so we're there to help them through that support process.
Right on. And Anne-Marie Montijo, you work with children.
Yes, we will be starting a children's health home care management program come December 1st, and
right.
We will be working with upwards of 300 children and their families to make sure that they have the services they need, whether it be mental health services, substance abuse services, as well as physical health services. So what we're looking to do is connect with other members or other clients within our agency who have children who might need the assistance. So really we'll be able to work with the entire family to be able to provide them with the services that they need.
Wow. So how many different arms are there? Because it sounds to me, you're looking at me like, a lot. Right. I know this is just a small representation of what the organization is here today, but I wanted to paint the picture for the listener.
Well, there's over 20, 25 different programs ranging from services to people who've had serious psychiatric disabilities, substance abuse, stays and detoxes. So there's intensive services. There's also peer group and support services, family support services. And as Anne-Marie was talking about, care management services for children, for adults with multiple conditions. So altogether, we have about 160 employees, and we serve about 3,000 to 3,500 people a year.
Wow. And we also provide training for social workers, mental health professionals, that also allow them to earn continuing education credits, giving them cutting edge information on some of the most recent modalities and treatments, so that we also want people who are professionals in the field to know, if you're listening, that you can also come to us. And we have a wide variety of trainings. And I think, you know, Mike and some of the others can speak to that. But we're always offering trainings so that people that want to know what are the cutting edge techniques that we should be using, we try to provide that as well.
Right on. Now, it's especially important that we have you guys up today, because today officially kicks off National Mental Health Awareness Week, right?
Right.
Now, so you have, which is, you have another website, which I want you to, again, if you're listening right now and just tuned in, it's Get Active. I'm Skiri Jones. We're talking to the Association for Mental Health Awareness, Mental Health and Wellness. They're at mhaw.org. But for this week, for National Mental Health Awareness Week, we want to drive your attention to another website, mhaweek.org. So it's a website dedicated just to National Mental Health Awareness Week. What are some of the things that we can expect from your organization in the coming week? I mean, and so if you're listening to this right now, and if you live on Long Island, make it out to Suffolk, right? You guys are located where? Everywhere.
We're in Suffolk. But
everywhere. You guys are in Suffolk.
But for this week, for we're this partnering week, also with organizations all across the island.
Right. So, and it's all Long Island. I wanted to make that clear. Okay, so why don't you talk a little bit about what this week is going to bring for you guys?
So on that site, mhaweek.org, you'll find out about activities that go from Sunday to Saturday, and maybe a couple that go beyond that date, to just help promote a better understanding about mental health. So in the point that you were talking about, and the objective of this show, to help people to get active, it's not only about getting active to learn about mental health, issues, to learn about strategies for helping people to improve their mental health. It's also about resources. And in there, if people are looking for volunteer opportunities and things like that, you'll meet 35 or 40 of our agency partners across the island. Some of them are doing things like open houses, mental health walks, barbecues, films, discussions, workshops. So on all scale of events and activities that just help people to get involved. We have a group in Islandia that's going to be talking about equine-assisted therapy, which is about the use of horses. We have a yoga studio that's going to be talking about the connection between yoga and good mental health. We have a number of the Nassau Suffolk Hospital Association is working on doing a collaborative walk from all across the island. So there's a range of activities and events to help promote better understanding.
Sure. Now, what if I'm waking up here today and I want to help out, but I don't have a degree in any of this stuff? That might scare me because, like, I don't know anything about training or teaching people or working with individuals. Is there something for me to do with your organization, and how can I get involved?
So the world is changing a little bit in the world of healthcare and mental health care, that while there's the professional components, as Silas talked about, having a skilled workforce who can deliver the most current treatment, medication, if that's something that people choose, the toolbox gets wider. And a lot of the workforce, as Marcel talked about, is about people with their own experiences. So pretty much everybody in our world has gone through some kind of stuff, you know, and it may be trauma related. It may be about loss, bereavement. It may be about anxiety. So people have had lived experiences are now the backbone, emerging to be the backbone of mental health care. So in addition to the professional training that we do, we also offer peer training. So helping people to become now certified peer specialists to be able to help other people who are dealing with serious mental health issues. In Marcel's program, it's talking about veterans who have gone through transition issues, helping other veterans to go through transitions.
You know, and it might even be something just as basic as somebody who's, as you know, Mike said, you know, has experienced grief and loss, you know, and they can maybe be able to sit down and talk to somebody else and talk about their experience about how they got through it. So, you know, there's a component that reaches out to the lay person and says, if you feel that you have something that you would like to contribute, you know, come to our organization, come to our agency, and we can kind of guide you in the best possible way to maybe get that message out to somebody that you could help. And it could be just a simple message as, you know, this is what I did to get through this day. And this is what I, you know, I'm going to pass on to you.
Sure. Now, what would you like to get out to the public? Like some information about the website, about your activities? I mean, that's not just about this week. It's about going beyond that. So I would love for you guys to elaborate on your programs and how people can help out and anything else you guys want to promote, because quite honestly, the airwaves are yours right now. You know, you could, and you know, we want to get people that might be listening right now, but you know, we've connected a lot of wonderful listeners and people that wanted to help out with some organization. And some of these people are now running these organizations because they've heard like this broadcast and, you know, these Sunday mornings that we spend together, that we focus on these great causes. So go for it.
So let me kick it off and my colleagues can jump in anywhere along the way. But for those of you from Long Island, and this is Mental Health Awareness Week on Long Island, is where we're focusing. It used to be home to major psychiatric centers. It was the biggest employer with the five major state psychiatric centers plus the VA. Was the biggest employer on Long Island before it was Fairchild Republic and Grumman and all those, you know, and the computers and tourism and wine. Mental health was the number one industry. But it also created a great mystique, misunderstanding about mental health and psychiatric disabilities and such because, you know, people were going to be sent away. You're going to go be among the thousands of people who are living in these state institutions. So there's still kind of a shadow over Long Island about this real misunderstanding. So a big part of this, not only this week, but our job 365 days a year with our veterans, with our kids, with our families, with people who are struggling with all sorts of physical issues and such, is to understand the mental health piece underneath it. It's not like we don't cut people off at the head now and say it's all in your head. You know,
right.
Mental health issues are mind-body connections related to, and we now have to look at the whole person, not only about from an illness or a diagnosis standpoint, but about peers and families and supports and getting understanding and getting the right education about what depression is about, what anxiety is about.
It scares me that there are people that are out there that do not understand that there are people that have these misconceptions or these 100, 200 year old, you know, ideas about what mental health and wellness is about, but it exists. It's a true problem.
Well, there's words, there's phrases, presidential candidates. There's all sorts of stuff that comes into the dialogue,
right?
That sets us back sometimes.
We have to, you know, always keep in mind that, you know, anybody could, you know, have a traumatic situation go down in their life and, you know, could be fine one day and the next day, you know, they could be really shaken by something. You know, it doesn't have to be something that's debilitating, but just something that becomes a roadblock. And sometimes people have to be able to get past those roadblocks. And the service that we try to provide is one where we try to get down to what's really at the root of this issue. You know, there are things that have happened to people in their childhood that affect them in their adulthood, but they never dealt with that issue. They never had anybody to sit down and try to peel back the layers, so to speak, to say, okay, let's see if we can get to the root of this. A big part of what, you know, we've repositioned ourselves to do is to, as Mike said, look at the whole person. There's a lot of people that have issues where they feel a certain way because of, you know, their beliefs. You know, we also incorporate, you know, the spiritual aspect. We don't discount that. You know, it's the whole person. Okay, whether it's a childhood issue, whether it's something that happened when they were a teenager, whether it's something that happened when they lost a loved one. At any given point, anybody could find themselves not feeling as good as they would like to. So we try to take a look at that in its entirety.
Can you share some stories about some people who've benefited from this, like specific anecdotes of, you know, that you've maybe worked with a veteran specifically? You don't have to mention names, or a child that you've absolutely have seen somebody blossom, somebody come a long way from beginning to end of the program?
Oh, absolutely. Since I've been with the program over the last almost 4 years now, we've seen the evolution of it. And part of that was when we started working within the veteran community, we needed to, first of all, define what the need is and in a community-based, you know, mutual self-help environment. And I'll give you an example. One of our vets that's actually working for us now as a mentor started working with the program as a participant in group. OIF, OEF veteran, traumatic brain injury, significant, PTSD issues, and came through at the other side as a resilient warrior through the project, and is now helping others get through their issues as a peer. So we've seen peer support working at its best in this program. And the value of that is that you're not alone on the island, because what happens is, first of all, Suffolk County is the largest veteran population in the state of New York. We have 75,000 veterans
really?
On the average right now. And believe it or not, we also mirror the national demographic. Vietnam age veterans are the largest within that population. So you have a range of eras and branches of service and issues that are being addressed in the community. Many people think right now the veteran on the street is that young man or woman that just came off the last deployment and came home and took the uniform off and is kind of isolating and maybe self-medicating. Yes, those people are out there, but the larger population right now is the Vietnam age veteran. 40, 50 years ago, they came back and unfortunately they were not welcomed home and they stuffed their issues. And they may have had thriving careers, lived their lives, but now they're empty nesters. They're living in social systems now, the baby boomer age, and they're starting to recount the things that they never dealt with before. So they're coming and accessing our services, and we're working through that right now, getting them through transition. Even though they left the service 40, 50 years ago, they're now finding success in the groups.
Well, we haven't started working with the children's yet. That will take place in December. But I know that we've had young adults in our programs where they have come in as a participant to receive services, done exceptionally well, and now are actually employed by the organization.
Wow. So they're making their careers out of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't think there's anything more rewarding than to see something like that.
Sure. Amber, you also wanted to say something earlier, I know.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of our goals is to really educate the community about mental illness and the stigma that is associated. And as Silas had said, that, you know, any one of us at any time, we're looking at what, 20 to 25% of the population at one time could be diagnosed with a mental health disorder. Hmm. And I think, you know, when you look at kind of what's put out there, even on TV shows and whatnot, and how people are portrayed, I think that is just such a misconception of what those people with mental illness are truly, truly dealing with, because they're usually more likely to be a victim of a crime than to be the person committing the crime. So I think that that's an important message to get out, to the public.
And go ahead, Mike.
A commitment of our agency, and part of what Anne-Marie is, since she joined us about a year ago, is also bringing recognition to mental health challenges. Have a lot of disparities, too, by race and by culture and by ethnicity. You know, our There is a disparative injustice, and people of color, people who have who speak languages primarily other than English, have a hard time sometimes accessing mental health care that could have averted their journey in the criminal justice system, their journey in and out of hospitals and emergency rooms and such. And so a big commitment of our agency right now is about recruiting people of color, people who speak other languages, and that's volunteers as well, Skiri, as you were talking about before, to be able to help us to reach other some of the other populations who have, you know, mental health conditions occur in relatively the same proportion, doesn't matter by race, color, religion, but not all cultures and races get access to help that really is meaningful.
And also, you know, since we are kicking off Mental Health Awareness Week, just think about the language, and we talk about mental illness, and you think about the word ill, it starts with I, and most of the time people with a mental illness suffer in silence. But when we talk about mental health, the first four letters is H-E-A-L, and so that's healing.
So oh, wow. What a great way to remember that.
Kind of look
that.
At it like that.
Nicely done.
That's awesome. Once again, it's the Association for Mental Health and Wellness, and of course their website, mhaw.org, and they're kicking off National Mental Health Awareness Week, which is mhaweek.org. Check out that website. Any specific activities, anything you want to drive the audience to? I know in your local Suffolk County, what town in Suffolk County are you guys
based? We're based in Ronkonkoma.
You're in Ronkonkoma.
In Riverhead, Yaphank.
Right. So anything specifically you want to drive people to right now? Or you just check out the website? And
on Tuesday afternoon is a great presentation. Just going to the topic we were just talking about the different, it's called the Social Determinants of Mental Health. We have a nationally renowned speaker and author, Dr. Ruth Shim, who's going to be speaking about those differential factors that talk about people's accessing mental health care or not accessing mental health care, and some of the realities about how people do get better. So,
and anybody can go to that, by the way.
That's
open to the public. Now, you don't have to volunteer to
totally free.
Work. You don't even have to. You don't have to be a participant in the program. You can just show up just to better educate yourself about it.
And that's Tuesday, 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock at the Huntington Hilton.
The Huntington Hilton. Okay. And what about you, Silas?
Well, for that week, one of the things that I would like to see happen is that people just access all the activities. And once you go on the website, you'll find that there's something there for everybody. Mm-hmm. Every day there's various different activities, but there's something for everyone. And another thing that I want to just bring to the attention of listeners, there's a lot of things going on in the specific communities that we serve. You know, there are things that are going to be happening at churches and community centers. So it's not just at one, you know, location. There's going to be things that where people say, well, gee, that's the church that I go to. Well, then go on the website and you might see something that's happening right in your local neighborhood. So we invite everybody to come out and participate, and let's all get rid of the stigma and try to help our healing.
Absolutely. Again. Anything else you guys want to add before we get out of here today? Because we got to go back to the music format, because that's what we do here at Z100. We are New York's number one hit music station, by the way. No. All right. It's all good. So Marcel, Lise, Michael Stoltz, Anne-Marie Montijo, and of course, my personal friend, Silas Kelly, who brought us all together today. I want to thank you all for being here. It's the Association for Mental Health and Wellness. They're at mhaw.org. And once again, kicking off National Mental Health Awareness Week at mhaweek.org for for a local listing of events going on all over Long Island this week, starting today, right here, as we kick it off. Thank you guys for being with us here on Get Active. I'm Skiri Jones from Elvis Duran and the Z100 Morning Show, and we got more music straight ahead.
You've been listening to Get Active on Z100. Reach out and get active in your community. From soup kitchens to counseling centers, hospice care to the public library, find something you can do to make life in the tri-state area better. Thanks for listening. And remember, get active.